This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to re-listen to this program, would like to leave comments on the program, have questions, or want to leave me with prayer requests, I'll give you my website address at the close of the program and you can contact me through the website. I will also give you my regular mailing address and you can contact me that way as well. The website has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there, and it has other helpful information as well. Now, we're going to continue looking at Peter today as we've been journeying through the Bible the last little while. We've been looking at prominent people in the Bible, and we looked at prominent people, men and women in the Old Testament, who laid the foundation for what we believe in the New Testament. And now we begin looking at some of the New Testament personalities that had a great effect on what we believe today. We've looked at John the Baptist, and we've looked at Mary, the mother of the Lord, and we've looked at Mary of Bethany, and we've looked at Mary Magdalene. And now we're looking at Peter. And we're going to spend a little more time on Peter than on some of the other personalities because of the effect that he has had upon what we believe today. As we said last time, he may very well have been the writer of the Gospel of Mark. He probably dictated it to Mark because Mark was not a first-person witness of many of the things that are in the Gospel of Mark, and Mark was related to Peter. And so he may have written the Gospel of Mark. We know that he wrote the two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, as well. But he also left behind some indelible imprints in the experiences recorded about him in the Gospels. And he's left behind some messages in the Acts of the Apostles that we really do want to look at. So last time we looked at his call, he was introduced to the Lord by a brother. And isn't that often the case where one member in the family comes to the Lord and believes that he is the Messiah, the Son of God? Their first concern is that their family needs to understand the same thing. And so Andrew went to Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah." And then Peter also begins following the Lord. We read about his call to follow the Lord actually in Matthew chapter 4, where we read that Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And so this was one of the most important aspects of Peter's life. Not only was he introduced to the Lord by his brother Andrew, they must have been partners in this fishing business, but they were called together to follow the Lord. And while I think they had already been convinced earlier that Jesus was the Messiah, now they are given a commission to follow. And by following, they're going to serve the Lord. They're going to learn who the Lord really is, how he really thinks, what he really wants done. And ultimately, they're going to spread the gospel to others. So Andrew brought Peter. Peter and Andrew are called to follow the Lord. And then the Lord says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And when we follow the Lord, it changes our occupations. Now, I realize that if you are in an occupation where you are earning a living for your family, that may not really change insofar as changing jobs is concerned. Sometimes it will, but it probably won't. But your attitude toward that job will change because now the job will be a means of making others fishers of men, a means of making contacts in the gospel, of demonstrating the love of God to others in your workplace. And the objective will no longer be simply to advance in your profession. The objective will be to use your profession to advance the things of God. And so Peter and his brother, they became fishers of men. And so evangelism is often looked at like fishing. And when you fish, You can fish either with a line and catch individual fish. And there's a lot of that going on today, and there tends to be a belief that that's the most productive way to fish today. But there's also the fishing where you throw a net into the sea and catch a lot of fish. And that comes through public preaching, and that is not something that seems to be blessed in the United States today, and many people are getting away from it. But I believe that's a mistake, because when we preach the gospel publicly, we not only catch fish, but we explain the doctrines of the gospel in such a way that those who are catching fish with a line know those doctrines and know how to do it. There's an awfully lot of evangelism today that is done based on popular methods rather than upon biblical methods. When we preach the gospel, we can't take the work away from that statement in John where you have to be born of the Spirit. There has to be a work of the Spirit in the life of the believer, and this is not like selling shoes or like merchandising something in a business. It's not like selling cars where we close the deal. We tell people about the deal. Holy Spirit has to close the deal. The person has to truly repent. They have to quit arguing with God about whatever they're arguing with God about, whatever is causing their unbelief, whether it be their moral sin, whether it be their religious sin, whether it be their own pride in their own ability to make decisions. Whatever it is, they have to quit arguing with God and say, God, you're right, even if that makes me wrong. And when you do that, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's called conviction. And that's the point at which you're able to believe what God says. We don't believe what God says partially. We believe what God says fully. That doesn't mean we understand all that we believe. But if God says it, when we are rightly dividing the word of truth, then we believe it. And so public preaching helps us in those things, but public preaching still is used by God to arrest sinners on their way to eternal damnation and to convict them of their sin and to turn them to the Savior. They aren't saved through the altar call, and they aren't saved through pressure. They're saved through the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But people are saved that way. And when we look at Scripture, in the Scripture, there were people who were saved by casting a line into the water. We read about one in Acts chapter 8 when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading his Bible alone, and Philip was sent to him. And Philip went up into the chariot and read the Bible with him and explained to him that what he was reading from Isaiah 53 was in fact the very word of God, and spoke of the Messiah. And that man not only got saved, but proved it by getting baptized that day. That was fishing with a line. But we also see in the Bible that there's a desire by God to preach in a public way, whether it be in the marketplace or whether it be in church environments, or whether it be, because when I say church environments, their church environment would have been the synagogue, and they preached in the synagogue. Mostly they were rejected in the synagogues, but they preached in the synagogues. They preached in the public places where people could listen. And God saved individuals. God does not save en masse. He saves individuals, but they may come to Him in a public environment with public preaching. And so Peter was told to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Peter did have a great effect upon the preaching of the gospel, and he was one who preached it publicly. And we'll see that as we go along and look at his life. And one of the next great events in his life was when he's in Matthew chapter 8, was when his mother was sick, and his mother was healed in Matthew 8 and verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, it wasn't his mother, it was his wife's mother, lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. And so we see that Peter experienced the miraculous benefits of following the Lord Jesus, and he experienced the truth that Jesus did use the ability to heal and the ability to raise from the dead and these other miracles to cast out demons and to heal the leper. He used those miracles to prove that he was who he claimed to be and that he had the right to claim the position of being the Son of God. And so Peter was blessed, and those around him were blessed. And what I really like about this is that oftentimes when people go to serve the Lord, people around them discourage them because they think they're going to waste their life. Now, Peter could have been making a living fishing, but he was following the Lord. But look, his family did not suffer because of it. They were blessed because of it, because his wife's mother was healed because of her contact with the Lord through Peter. And so we need to remember that true blessing comes from following the Lord. We do have a need to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. And the cross is really a place of death. It's turning our back on what we thought was going to amount to something in this life and trying to advance the kingdom of God. Instead of advancing ourselves and our own professions, we advance the kingdom of God, much like Paul did when he turned his back upon his ability to prosper as a Pharisee when he trusted the Lord on the Damascus Road. He left those things that he calls are behind, and he pressed forward. And so when we look at our relationship with God, we find out that yes, there may be a cost associated with following the Lord, but there's a great benefit. And can you imagine the benefit that there is when you know that you've been used in bringing somebody to eternal salvation? When you know that they have passed from death unto life, when you see their eyes light up, and when they say, oh, I understand, I see, I understand now that Christ died for me, that as a sinner I was condemned, but in Christ I am saved. And when you know their eternal future has been secured. Now, Paul just saw his wife's mother healed. But in a spiritual sense, that's what we're seeing as well. Everyone has a fever that is going to take them down to a sinner's hell unless they come to Christ and have the blessing of knowing the healing power of Christ in their lives, healing them from the calamity, the problems, the difficulties that are brought into their lives because of sin. And so Peter blessed others because he followed the Lord. And next time we want to look at how he himself was used in propagating this basic truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and how important that was in his life. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We trust that if there are any listening who are unsaved, that even now they'll understand the truth that Christ died for them. He loved them and died for them, and may they put their trust in him and be saved even today. We give thee thanks. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.